Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What do 11 presidents, the Dalai Lama, Whoopi Goldberg, Groucho Marx, and Buzz Aldrin all have in common? Well, they were all photographed by one man, legendary photojournalist Patrick O'Donnell. For more than 60 years, O'Donnell had a front row seat to history, capturing iconic moments from the Nixon era to modern presidents, along with entertainers, world leaders, and unforgettable personalities along the way. His camera took him behind the scenes of political events, county fairs, celebrity encounters, and even historic moments like the day Richard Nixon resigned. In his fascinating memoir, What Do 11 U.S. Presidents, the Dalai Lama, and Whoopi Have in Common?, he shares the stories behind the photographs, the unexpected conversations, the once-in-a-lifetime moments, and the golden age of journalism when newspapers ruled and every shot had to count. It's a remarkable journey through American history, one photograph at a time. And with him on that journey is longtime business partner and wife of 57 years, Peggy O'Donnell. She's with us on This Week in America to offer a rare look at history through the eyes of a man who captured it, acclaimed photojournalist Patrick O'Donnell. Peggy, it's a pleasure having you on the program. Let's start talking about your role in this. You were there. You were played a major role in Patrick's career. Talk about the life you shared.
Well, we had a fairly normal life. However, he was a photojournalist, and he was working at small papers. And we had three children, a normal kind of upbringing, but it got crazy as years went along, and the more he was working in newspapers, and the more that he was able to get to these assignments, and he was to go to them. And over the 60-year period, we've been through quite a few changes, especially in journalism and cameras, and how things are shot, and getting to be in front and knowing how to manipulate your way through the media, press, and in standing with the paparazzi and or the media groups, or with the other journalists and photographers, television and still. So and he would tell, if I was not with him on an assignment, he would always tell me what happened after he got back. So that's what he was. And even after he got out of newspapers and went to teach photojournalism at California State University Fullerton, and then that ended, and they made him the university photographer, which he followed the president of the university around, which was about 35,000 students, and all kinds of fundraising events and bringing in celebrities to put to raise money for scholarships and various things. And so we were once again in the green rooms before the celebrities would go on, and then the meet and greets afterwards, which was sort of what we also did at the fairs, because we had various groups come in and had meet and greets afterwards and in the green rooms beforehand. So it's sort of been a whole podge of events, whether it was a presidential event or photographing a pie eating contest or demolition derby or Mexican wrestling or skydiving events, the motocross, clowns,
oh, yes,
stilt walkers, all the things that we had to get done at these various events, and always working on a deadline, making sure that whatever the organizers of the events were looking for to have the correct shots. So it was basically almost everything that moved and didn't move when we were out.
Well, he certainly had a rich and a diverse career. It all comes to life. And Patrick's book, What Do 11 U.S. Presidents, the Dalai Lama and Whoopi Have in Common? Book available wherever books are sold. Patrick's website is patrickinfocus.com. Going through all of the pictures, you'll see the depth of of what he covered, as Peggy mentioned, from presidents to county fairs for a number of years. And you mentioned something interesting, the fact that working with newspapers, he was on call a lot. And that means basically when breaking news, something unexpected happens, you call Patrick to bring him in to cover it from a pictorial standpoint. Talk about that, because you're really always on call, aren't you?
Yes, you are. You are on call. If it's a major thing that happens at midnight, you're on call.
Yes.
If something happens at 6 o'clock in the morning, they'll call you to go out and cover it. It could be anything, fire, accident, riots, you know, whatever. It was always that way, and we just lived our lives so long doing that sort of thing that even after we moved on to other types of writing and photography, we always knew that if we got a call to do something, he would take the camera and he would go. And he did a lot of sports, pro sports and college sports. Our son played college football, and so he was on the sidelines for that. And now our grandsons were playing flag football. And so once again, when they were 6 and 7 and 8, he was out there on the sidelines for flag football. So he sort of ran through the whole gamut of all the way from pro basketball, sitting under the basket, Rose Bowl, sitting on the sidelines, to watching his 8-year-old grandson play flag football.
All of this comes to life in Patrick's book. The book is available wherever books are sold. I'll direct you to his website, patrickinfocus.com. His wife and partner for decades is with us, Peggy O'Donnell, our guest on the program. When you talk about cameras, this is really interesting. Young people see camera. Basically, everybody's a photographer. If you got a phone, you're a photographer. Talk about that. I think he was, 17 years old when Patrick bought his first camera. These were real cameras. This was not point and shoot. This was not self-correcting, was it? It took some skill to be able to use these cameras effectively, especially if they were going to be published photographs.
That was the important thing. They were published photographs, and you had to change the film. You had to make sure you had enough film, enough cameras, make sure your battery was charged. If you were still back in the long time ago when you had a flash bulb, like my father was a photographer, not just an amateur, but he had flash bulbs, and they had to be changed.
Oh, yes.
And then when the film came, and then how many shots could you get on a roll of film, and how fast did the camera move? Was it a motor camera? Did you have a long lens? Did you have to change the focus and the aperture for the light? And were you inside, outside, and where was your subject standing, under with a tree behind him, or was there too many people in the crowd? Now, with digital, those things can be manipulated, blocked out, wiped out a whole background, add people in, change position of people. You couldn't do that then. You had to make sure your shot was set up. And when we would go out on assignments and we had to shoot a group of people or three or four of the important people, we always made sure that they were set up before the photo was taken. And we would tell them, give us a minute to set you in the proper space, because we'll shoot a motor camera and then you're free to go in about 30 seconds after the shot's taken. If you hold them for too long, they get fidgety and look down and they forget to smile and they start talking to each other.
Now, after you take the pictures, after Patrick would take the pictures, and I went through this in high school, worked for the local newspaper and would go out, and I had the Yashica camera, I think it was, and it was one of these complicated things, and I'm not real adept at complicated things. So you take the pictures and you think you got it right, but then you go back to the dark room. Talk about that, because that always was another aspect. It's one thing to take the pictures. You have to develop the pictures and see how they come out. Talk about experiences in the dark room. And I think, you had a dark room set up in your home?
Yes, we did. We set up the dark room, plumbed in the water, made the sink so that you have a series of steps to develop the film, and then strung up lines to hang up the film so they could dry, and then set up the chemicals so that you could develop the film, and then find out, look at the negatives through the enlarger and decide what's good, what's bad, how to crop in the with the enlarger and the sheet of paper, and then you had to have the supplies. So it was a and black out the window. It had to be dark and put a safe lights in. So we had that for a really long time until digital. But even with digital, and we were at the Orange County Fair, we were still doing black and white photos for publication purposes for a few more years until finally it was over and digital took over. So then we had digital cameras. But we knew it was coming. It's just a matter of how long what had to be done. And we were the cameras we were shooting were all professional because of the quality for print. And that lasted. And then as digital got better, then we didn't have to worry about it. And then you do it automatically.
Well, you see that
progression. And then people forget that it used to be the other way.
Well, yes, exactly. You bring it all back because we see this this transformation that photojournalism has gone through. The book is What Do 11 U.S. Presidents, the Dalai Lama, and Whoopi Have in Common by Patrick O'Donnell. His website is called, very simple, patrickinfocus.com. Book available wherever books are sold. His business partner and wife of 57 years, Peggy, is with us on the program today. It's interesting you talked about group shots and getting people together, and you're still on the clock because if you keep them too long, they get fidgety. You don't get a good picture. He also, in the book, has some amazing candid photographs. Talk about the expertise needed to do that, because for some of these pictures, you literally have a second or two to take the shot. If you think about it too long, you've lost that opportunity. What was that like doing candid photography, knowing the right time to take the picture?
Well, for one thing, you have to have longer lenses.
Yes.
So that you have, depending on how far you are from your subject, a long lens that you could focus in on and come right into the faces or the group that you're looking at. You can't be very intrusive. And a lot of times, you even can't even get identifications or names if you're shooting just a candid. We always want to make sure that we knew the names in advance sometimes, so we didn't have to ask afterwards who that was. But and even so, with a long lens and you're at the event, they're public figures, so they understand that their photos are going to be taken by the phalanx of photographers that are standing there, and there are usually lots of them. If you look at some of the photos in the book about when he is on the platforms with all the other photographers, or even you watch television, like the Oscars are coming up, and the amount of photographers are just standing there with their long lenses focusing in on the celebrities as they come in.
Well, you watch any sporting event.
You have to do the same on stage, too. You have to make sure that you have a long enough lens to that people aren't lost in the background because you're not close enough.
You see what Peggy's talking about. If you watch basketball, you watch tennis on television, you see the rows with the photographers and with the long lenses and trying to get the right photo. Even if somebody knocks them down, one of the athletes knocks them down as they're trying to get the picture taken. The book is available wherever books are sold. If you go through the pictures, I love the pictures in there, the candid shots. There's a great shot of President Obama with a smile on his face or reaching out into the crowd. Also a picture in there. What was this like when Patrick would, I don't want to necessarily say get close, become friends, but become very cordial with the people he was shooting? A picture of him with his arm around George H.W. Bush, the president. What's that like? You've got the two of them together like they're old buddies.
Well, when after President Bush left office and we did not get a picture of him when he was serving as president, we were asked to shoot an entire weekend of events for a local, they'd invited Bush to be the primary speaker for an economic conference in Newport Beach. So when we got there, Pat and I, I left him to stay with the president, the former president, and I would go in and figure out the room and what other people were in there and how to set up the shots. Well, so when President Bush arrived, and there's a picture of him holding out his hand and come towards Pat, and they started to chat, and Pat said who he was and what he was there for. And they also happened to mention at that point he had shot the presidents up. He hadn't finished all the presidents, but he shot in quite a few of them. So So he mentioned that he, how many presidents and some of the other things, to try and make the principal feel at ease that we're not, that he was there to do his job, and he knew what he was doing. And so President Bush had said, "How, well, you've shot all these presidents. How many have you had your picture taken with?" And he said, "Well, none, because you don't do that." And so that's when Bush handed the camera to the Secret Service guy and said, "Go ahead and shoot and take a picture of the two of us." And he took one, and then Bush said, "Well, you know that photographers don't take just one shot of any one thing." So Pat said, "No, it's on a motor. You can do it." So Pat got an entire roll of him with President Bush, and that's the only time he ever had his picture taken with one of the presidents, or actually any one of the celebrities that happened to be in there.
Yeah, because people might go, "Why? I bet he's got a great autograph book, all the people he's met." You really don't do that, do you? You just take pictures.
You don't ask these people for their autograph. They're never, for doing what we were doing, you don't ask them. And the only person I ever got an autograph from, and I did not ask him personally, was Tony Bennett. And it was at an event that we were doing, and a friend of mine said, "Would you like me to get his autograph for you?" And I said, "Yes, because I can't ask him."
And cherished to this day, I'm sure. And there's a great picture of you and Patrick in there, taken back in 1965. So when I talk about the decades you spent together in business as well as in your personal lives, it does go back decades. And everything that you've seen during this period of time, he's a storyteller, too. I love the term photojournalist because there's no separation between the two. If you take pictures, if you're a good one, you're a journalist, aren't you? You tell a story with your photography.
Yes. Well, that is a photojournalist as opposed to just the journalists who are the writers. So there were many times Pat would just go out with a writer, and it would be the writer, and Pat would go as the photographer when he was in his days of the newspapers. And sometimes he would just go out at the smaller paper in Whittier, he would just go out and write the story along with taking the pictures. And then after he retired from Cal State Fullerton, then COVID hit. So then everything was shut down, and what we were doing wasn't happening. The events, the big events, were not happening anymore. So then we decided we would write travel pieces for a local magazine in Newport. So we pulled out all our travel photos and started writing. he started writing and putting the photos in. So that was kind of interesting.
Well, in being in business together as you were, looking for those opportunities, you talked about his desire, being at the right place at the right time, that's one thing, and his can-do attitude. And you've talked about the fact that being in business, if somebody asked if you could take a picture of this, the answer was yes, whether you knew you could do it or didn't do it. He really was up for all of these challenges, wasn't he?
Yes, you never said no.
Yeah.
And being in business, you don't say no. So, and you try and make them look as good as they can in the photos. And whether you're at a charity event or you're out fighting the rest of the paparazzi, and you don't have a place to stand. Usually, in a situation like that, the principals will get together for group shots, and they'll stand in the front, and then the rest of them just go. Start clicking away. Basically what you have to do. And then when you're at the when we did all the fair events, that also you had to not only take photos of the principals that were there, but also the people having fun at the fair, enjoying their time, riding ponies, riding on merry-go-rounds, children eating food, whatever, pie eating contests, whatever made the fair look like it was fun.
I mentioned a rich and diverse career. How did you go about putting the book together, finding the right photographs, and how long did it take you to do that? I would think each photograph would bring back memories, and you could sit there and talk for probably 15, 20 minutes on each photograph there. What went into it, your recollections of that event? What was it like putting this together, and how did you go about putting this collection together in the book, What Do 11 Presidents, the Dalai Lama, and Whoopi Have in Common?
Well, many people had asked Patrick when he was going to write a book after this. I mean, other people had asked, you've photographed these various people, why don't you put together a book? And so we started thinking about what we wanted to do, how big we wanted to do it, whether we wanted black and white only or we wanted color. And because these negatives, I never threw any negative away. We never threw any press pass away. I have every press pass from virtually all these years, whether it's the Rose Bowl or the White House press pass, or any of the other ones, because he was in the White, he went to the White House twice with the sports teams, whether it was the press pass for going to the Obama or the Johnson or the Carter, whatever, everything we have, or whether it was just a local something left over from some other event. Well, the digital was easy. The black and white took a lot of scanning, going through negatives, and because they were in proof sheets, and so we could look at them, and we would look at them, and then we would scan them. And also, the Nixon Library had taken all of our original negatives and scanned them, and then returned them with a disc. So all of Nixon that he had up to that point had been scanned by the Nixon Library. And that I just put on my computer. Also, University of California, Irvine, which hosted both Johnson as the groundbreaking and Obama 50, and that was 50 years after Johnson was there. They took all the Johnson things and some other things from Irvine, from the university, and they scanned them. So I was able to pick up on my computer all these negatives that had been scanned in the computer, which made it a lot easier. And then the rest of it, we just, and also everything we had shot for Cal State Fullerton had was in their archives, but I had a lot of the negatives anyway. And by the time we were into digital, it wasn't hard because everything was saved on the computer. So then it was just a matter of picking out. And the Reagan and Ford, which were in color, they were in color slides. I had those. So the hard part was to pick out which was the best, you know, and we had a lot to choose from. Thousands of photos. And we tried to pick the best of each of the events. And then you have to edit them down. And we called them out and said yes, no. And he would do the writing, and I would, while I was working on trying to edit which photos would go in, and then we'd put them on a page and say, no, that works, and oh, yes, that's perfect, and then lay them out on the pages, and then the text to go with it. So make sure, and then I make sure that things were spelled correctly and titles were assigned to the proper people. Titles are very important when you're dealing with something like this. You don't want to... You do not want to misspell their name.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yes.
That's the major thing in journalism, you know. And then whatever else worked out. And what was the best candid? What was the best kind of a portrait? We never really did portraits per se. We did weddings. We did Buzz Aldrin's wedding. But we didn't do weddings or do portraits for families, outside of a few friends, but other than that, we struck strictly with whatever was happening around us.
You know, amazing process. It had to be full of memories to go back and to put these together. Did Patrick ever really retire? It sounds like he had his camera with him wherever he went. Did he ever fully retire?
Well, he was fired from one newspaper. He retired from Cal State Fullerton. He was fired from the newspaper because it was bought out by another paper, and they wanted to reduce the size of the photo staff because it was shrinking in those days. And then a week later, he got the job at Cal State Fullerton teaching. So we never really retired then. And then after he retired officially from Cal State Fullerton, we still had a business and did a lot of mostly charity work, working for charities, public relations, a few advertising people just to do keep going. And then then COVID came, and so he started writing for the magazine. And we took our trips, and even during COVID, we would do like a day trip, go someplace and get all the information, and he would write the article, and
yes,
we would place the photos in. And we tried to keep it local during the COVID period because people were not going out, but if they were, they weren't going very far, and some things were open and so on. So we wanted to, basically around Southern California. So we would take a day, we would do a day trip and go out. And then we would go back into when we were traveling and do articles about that. That's basically what he did until basically the end. I mean, you know, he had the camera with him the entire time until he got too sick and then he passed. So, but that was it.
Yeah,
and also, he was also shooting our grandson's flag football games. So, I mean, that's the way he started that way, and he ended that way.
Well, you know, I asked that because I couldn't see him just putting the camera down and walking away. It became a part of him over this illustrious career that he had, receiving numerous awards, including the Orange County Press Club Sky Dunlap Award, Outstanding Lifetime Achievement, Community Service, one of many that Patrick won. A lot of his work appeared in major publications all around the country. This book is available wherever books are sold. What Do 11 U.S. Presidents, the Dalai Lama, and Whoopi Have in Common by Patrick O'Donnell. Patrick's website, as I mentioned, is patrickinfocus.com. Book available wherever books are sold, and we'll have all of that information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Peggy, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. What a great time, a great trip down memory lane for all of us over maybe 25 or 30 years old, back in the days when the newspapers ruled, didn't they? I mean, people waited anxiously for the newspaper in the morning or the afternoon edition to show up. That's how they got their news.
Yes, they did. And now everybody has their camera phone, and they post the pictures of their dogs right away.
So yes,
it's gone to everybody now. Everybody thinks now life is a photo op. Everything you do.
Yes. And the cameras are so easy to use. I even take pictures from time to time, so you can master those. They are easy to use. Peggy, thank you so much for being with us on the program and sharing the story. You'll find the book available at wherever books are sold, and a lot of the pictures you'll see at patrickinfocus.com. Peggy, thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure having you on to tell the story of you and Patrick and the way you covered history, as I said in the beginning, one photograph at a time. And our thanks to EC Publishing, bringing your vision to life with expert editing, design, and marketing. Marketing tools tailored to your publishing success. You'll find them at ecpublishingllc.com. You're listening to This Week in America, exploring the issues that shape our lives.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.